roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
What's up, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goz reporting for duty here on a Monday. Great to be with you all for the next hour here on Sportscaster. Our home for the past year or so now, consistently for Junkie Radio, and our home for our watch-alongs. I'll start off with that, a UFC 256 watch-along, Saturday, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. You'll hear us talk about that throughout the week. We'll be watching the fights. Hopefully, you'll be watching the fights along with us. Davidson Figueiredo defends his belt against Brandon Moreno. On today's show, we backed off a little. Look, there's a chance we might still have a second guest, but the aim was to have one guest, but sometimes when you book these guests and somebody's a little slow in replying or whatever, you start to cast another line, and the next thing you know, you have multiple guests. But Randy Gordon, former head of the New York Athletic Commission, he'll join us towards the end of the show. He's also the host of At the Fight with Jerry Cooney on SiriusXM's Fight Nation Channel 156. Former home of Junkie Radio. He's a good friend of the show. He can talk MMA or boxing, but we'll talk a little bit of boxing with him because in the news, I'll start off with that, Floyd Mayweather has signed on to fight, to box, to spar, I don't know, an exhibition bout versus Logan Paul, who is the brother to Jake Paul, who's the one that recently knocked out former NBA star Nate Robinson. So they're brothers. Logan Paul fought KSI, another YouTube sensation, years ago. I can't believe I'm saying all this. I think it was 2018 or something like that. But he's back in the game, and so is Floyd. And then also Errol Spence defeated Danny Garcia this past Saturday at AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play. Should have been a bigger deal than it was, but I don't know. Maybe Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. stole some of that thunder the week before. And then, of course, Clarissa Shields. She's not backing off MMA. She's already been training and spotted training with John Jones and Holly Holm. How about an MMA, that great main event of Jack Hermanson versus Marvin Vettori at UFC on ESPN 19 this past Saturday? They went the five rounds. It went back and forth, mostly forward for Vettori, though. He was the decisive winner, 49-46 on two cards, 49-45 on another. Yoel Romero has been, do we call it a cut, parted ways with the UFC? He's no longer with the UFC. That's the point. We'll discuss what might be next for him. Why did that happen? He's been a top five guy in the middleweight division for the past 10 years, it seems like. Had multiple attempts to win the title. Maybe that was it. It's just the ship has sailed as far as him getting the coveted prize, UFC gold. Supposedly 60 more cuts are on their way. We already have about four or five we can share with you as well. So, yeah, we'll talk about all that and the rest of the UFC on ESPN 19 card that took place Saturday. They whittled down to like eight of them because of 3 day of COVID infections. And we already have one for this weekend, UFC 256, Tisha Torres and Angela Hill. Angela Hill got it. So we'll probably discuss that as well. All right, folks, buckle up. It's Junkie Radio on a Monday, December 7th.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura dropping in. Just wanted to let you know about MMA Junkie's latest podcast. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language show dedicated to all things professional fighting. Each Monday, we recap the major events from the weekend, plus we analyze the week's biggest news. We also bring you exclusive interviews with the best fighters, coaches, and experts in the Hispanic and Latin American scene. You can find Hablemos MMA every Monday morning on your favorite podcasting platform. Suscríbete y nos hablamos pronto. Chao.
goes Marvin Vettori, Jack Hermanson. React. What'd you think of that?
I thought it was a great fight, man. I mean, it's so funny because that's not originally who either guy was going to face. So it's not like we can even really give the matchmakers much credit here. Although the second it was put together, you just kind of go, wow, those are two styles that are just going to be a lot of fun. Marvin Vettori is always a guy that's had a lot, like a little chip on his shoulder and a lot to prove. And this was a perfect guy for him to fight. And the fight lived up to the hype. I mean, it could have ended relatively early. We don't know if Marvin doesn't go for that submission attempt. Who knows? It could have ended early. But I'm kind of glad it went the distance because it proved a lot about Marvin Vettori and what he's capable of doing.
Yeah, for sure. I thought Hermanson was going to come out a little bit more aggressive like he usually does and start to put the pressure on Vettori, who wasn't anticipating a five-round fight as of about 2 weeks ago. But look, these guys are highly conditioned. I think they can all pretty much go the five. It's, are you prepared? Have you prepared mentally to go the five? And have you done it before? So do you have that experience to proportion your energy bar, your energy meter across 25 minutes versus 15? If you've never done it, you may have that question, you know, in your head. Or if you've never done it at the UFC level, then again, you know, against another top cat, because some guys have done it on the lower circuits, the lower regional promotions, and, you know, it could be a one-sided beating, or I don't know, the pressure always mounts when it comes to the Ultimate Fighting Championship. But yeah, Vettori looked great. After the fight, he said, hey, how about me and Paulo Costa? Then he changed it up and said, hey, how about me and Israel Adesanya? Which, by the way, they fought before. And looking back on Adesanya's record, that was one of Adesanya's toughest tests. But, you know, Adesanya seems to be booked roughly to fight Jan Blachowicz. So I think with the fallback on Costa fight, which, by the way, got Dana White's attention, or maybe another middleweight. What are your thoughts?
I think he made a little bit of a mistake, because if that's really what he wanted, the Israel Adesanya fight, I think he might have lost some steam when he said Paulo Costa first. Because when he said that fight, to me, that made a lot of sense. I thought that was a perfect matchup. I think it's a great fight for him. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think it makes sense for him to fight Israel Adesanya. Like, I get that he has to put it out, but I don't think it makes sense. I think right now Paulo Costa is, like, the right choice at the right time. The right things are going on. So I like that matchup. And I think if he gets past him, then there's no way you can deny him a title shot.
Really? You think he's all the way up to a title shot?
Yeah. Yeah, I think with a win over Jack Hermanson and Paulo Costa, I think you give him a title shot.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Whitaker still stands out as a shiny number one contender who had the opportunity to fight Israel Adesanya, but according to Dana White, he wasn't going to be able to go on the same timeline. That's why Adesanya and Blachowicz, I guess, became a reality. And so I still see him as the number one guy.
But a lot of time is going to go by, though, for that to happen. Right? A lot of time is going to go by in that time frame, so we don't know. But the UFC has been a what have you done for me lately sport. And I just, if you smoke Paulo Costa after doing what he did to Jack Hermanson, I don't see them denying him.
Yeah. Maybe. Let's say he fights Costa in March. I always like to add 3 quick months. That seems fair. And then after that, maybe in July, he fights somebody else. You know, I guess maybe Whitaker might feel like he can sit out till then. I don't know. I guess it all depends on how quick Izzy and Blachowicz fight. Let me look that up and see if there's an Israel Adesanya Blachowicz fight. Actually, I don't think one's been announced, right?
It's not officially booked.
But there's no date.
No. Not that I know of.
There isn't a date, then, yeah, I mean, there's really – it's hard to really put the schedule, you know, in my head of what might work and what might not work. But I think his best bet is to fight Whitaker. Honestly, at that point, and just get a guy coming off a win versus another guy coming off a win. And then if you beat Whitaker, you've stolen everything from everybody, you know. Nobody mm-hmm. can make sort of a case because you got the win streak and you got the wins to back it up. But if you fight Costa, and let's just say on the same night or 1 week before, 1 week after, Whitaker jacks somebody up, you know, then Whitaker might still be in that pole position. I don't know. It's interesting to talk about. But for now, we'll see. You know, when they walk out of the octagon, you're like, oh, man, look dinged up. But we have no idea. Did you know Jack Hermanson has a shattered eye socket and a broken toe? I mean, it's not shocking to hear it, right? But, whoo, that's the eye socket, man. That's going to be a brutal one to come back from.
Yeah, but if you're like Joe Schmo and you're going through your social media and you see a picture of Jack Hermanson, you're thinking, wow, did he get jumped or was he in a car accident or what? Like, what happened to that dude? It would be hard to believe that one guy did that over five rounds. That's a lot. That's a lot that your body goes through, a lot of trauma and a lot of facial trauma there with him. And that's just his face. You know, you mentioned the toe, and I'm sure his body hurts a little bit from some of them kicks to the ribs that Marvin was throwing. So this is a brutal, brutal sport. That is a very, very tough night. A lot of nicks and dings that he took. And I think even at the end, wasn't he the one that kind of got up limping a little bit? Which I think the broadcasters were saying that possibly that's something he was trying to hide, but I don't think so. I think it actually happened in that last exchange when they went to the ground. He kind of went down a little awkwardly, but it looked like his hip was bothering him a little bit too.
Yeah, who knows, man? Let's wait till the injury report comes out. Let's figure out what's next with Adesanya and Blachowicz. Because another thing, look, it's a chain reaction. I can't imagine John Jones, who was giving the eyeballs to Jamal Hill, I can't imagine he can stand what's happening. If Francis Ngannou, who has the next shot against Stipe Miocic, can't stand what's going on, the delay, imagine how the next guy feels, which is John Jones. He's got to wait for the winner of that to figure out what's next for him. But he's got juice. You know, he may just go, you know what, fuck it. I'm going back to light heavyweight. I want Blachowicz. And I don't think Dana White would run interference on Israel Adesanya without Israel Adesanya signing off. But if Izzy goes, all right, I'll fight Whitaker. But you owe me one, boss. You know, and then Dana reacts off that and says Jones versus Blachowicz and whatever, then, you know, now we got to reshuffle the deck at that point. But let me go through some of the results here. So we know Vittori beat Jack Hermanson. Jamal Hill, like I mentioned, great, great win for him. He beat OSP. Nice TKO stoppage there. Gabriel Benitez defeated Justin James. TKO, shot to the body, followed up with some strikes. Roman Dolidze defeated John Allen. Split decision there. Jordan Leavitt defeated Matt Wyman. KO slam. No follow-up, 22 seconds, second fastest slam finish ever. Josh Berkman still holds first, 21 seconds. This one was 22. That is a local kid here out of Las Vegas. Lewis Smolka defeated Jose Alberto Quinones, TKO stoppage. I was really happy for Smolka goes. We had just had him on the show, and I think a lot was riding on this one for him, so good for him. Ilya Topura defeated Damon Jackson, KO punch there. He's probably going, how come I didn't get 50 Gs? Jake Collier defeated John Volante, decision, 30-27s across the board. The bonuses went to Vittori and Hermanson for fight of the night. Can't argue with that one. And Gabriel Benitez and Jordan Leavitt got the performances of the night. Again, I could see Topuria maybe having a beef. Hey, Davison got a bag with 50 Gs in it. Might you have overlooked me? Should stop and pick up one of those bags? Who knows? But anyway, that's the rest of the card. Anything you want to talk about there?
I want to talk about Paul Felder a little bit. Between his little rant on weight cutting and then throwing that judge under the bus, which I'm not saying he didn't deserve it, Paul's been cracking me up a little bit on these broadcasts and just really become a figurehead of these. But I thought that was interesting. That was a terrible scorecard that judge turned in. He had it 30-27, I think, the other way, right? Like, it made zero sense. And I'm glad that Paul shed a little light on that, because if that were not that every fight isn't important, but if that were, like, a championship fight or something, can you imagine what some of these situations have done to derail somebody's career? That's something that we need to really look at. That judge has now turned into kind of bad scorecards, in my opinion. And for Paul to come out there and do something that a lot of fighters don't do, and that's say, hey, look, I went back and I watched it. I didn't think I deserved that call. Like, that's kind of big of him. I know a lot of fighters that wouldn't do that. They would take that situation and kind of run with it. You know, I had a good fight. He was very, very honest. I thought that was cool. So that was interesting. And then I felt bad for Justin James because I thought he was doing pretty good, you know, up until that shot that put him down. And then, like you said, Lewis Smolka, that was a fun fight because I thought there was a good back and forth. But Lewis kind of got over a hump that sometimes he doesn't. It looked like it was a mental thing. And when he had his opportunity to finish the fight, he really, really pushed to do that. Now, I was very happy to see. He's a nice guy, and he's gone through a lot in his life. So I'm good that he can keep the ball rolling here with the UFC.
So his last two losses were quick submissions. So the fact that he was defending that, you know, getting up off the ground and pushing the fight past, obviously, you know, the early stages of the first round, I thought was tremendous. And then it allowed him to, kind of dictate the fight to where he wanted it. He initiated some takedowns, you know what I mean? So that was good to see. We know he can stand and bang, but he showed a well-roundedness to his game. So it was good. I was really, really happy for him. And, you know, we had just had him on the show last week and him talking about, man, now I just want to buy a home for my wife and my kid. That's all I'm concentrated on. He wasn't talking about his personal goals, you know what I mean? He was talking more, you know, about what he wanted to do for his loved ones. So good on him. And like I say, those are the results. That's it. 8 fights, because on fight day, we had 3 COVID dropouts. So fighter camp, undisclosed, whatever. But 3 fights on fighters on fight day came off the books. And so they were down to 8. And, you know, that stands out, Goes. I mean, that's like 1/4 of the card. I think I guess they were at 11 or 12 at some point, and then they were down to 8. Hell, that might even be a third. I don't know. But, and then this week we already hear that Tisha Torres has tested positive against, she's supposed to be fighting Tisha Torres.
No, so, Angela Hill,
sorry. She's the one that tested positive against Tisha Torres. So that one's already off the UFC 256 card. What do you think's happening there at the UFC with these infections?
You know, I don't think it's really as bad as people are making it out. Like, the UFC's job is not to prevent people from getting COVID. It's to discover when people have it so that they can't give it to other people. So really what you're looking at is, yeah, you know, a couple fights here drop off almost every card. This one in particular, the last couple ones have been pretty bad, but it goes to show that it matches what's going on in the world. You know, this is a sport that doesn't really use the bubble. It's a year-round sport. They have their version of a semi-bubble. I think it's the best they can do, but I kind of applaud the UFC. I'm happy that they're doing it. The only thing I can think of is possibly maybe a little bit more testing before, I don't know, you know, weeks out or something, but or getting them to the location a little bit earlier. And because, you know, you can contract it on a plane, you can contract it at the airport. So those are the only things I can think of, but I really think they're doing the best they can with the situation that they have.
Well, let me think about that. Getting them here sooner doesn't mean they're not hopping on a plane. So either way, they're hopping on a plane. Mm-hmm. Getting them here sooner means you can spot it earlier. However, once you get it, I think you're out. What you can do is recover and get on another card if they want to keep you in town for 2-3 weeks. So I wonder if they believe that you staying home, you're safer there than you being already here. I don't know. That would be something to consider, you know, because that bubble can't be easy. I do know one thing, though, goes unofficially. And that's when they arrive here, like on Tuesday, we'll say, they fight on Saturday. The first thing they do is test and quarantine for like a full day or 36 hours. And then they're giving the clearance. They got these wristbands and stuff. But I believe them or the team is allowed one day where they can go to the PI or somewhere else or just break away. And then they have to report back Friday for another 36 hours of being quarantined. So I wonder if maybe people aren't going to like me for saying this, but maybe it's best that you just aren't allowed to leave. You know, they just need to supply everything you need there to train there. Maybe there's a shuttle to the PI and that's it. But other than that, you can't be going anywhere else because that's where you can contract COVID, I guess. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I just think like when you get to Vegas, you take your test and then you're quarantined. But I think there's a lot of people that you can encounter in between that time, you know? So I think if you're just here longer, you don't have to worry about corner men going out. That corner men are people that I think aren't watched maybe as vigorously as fighters. There's just a lot of ways. So the only thing I can think of, because I honestly think they're doing a really good job. The only thing I can think of is make them come out 1 week earlier. That way possibly fights can be saved or moved around or something if you find out who's going on. Because what you don't want to do is you don't want to mess with the integrity of the fight. Right. There, of course, there's some things that like the UFC could say only one corner man. OK, but does that mean that your other two coaches aren't important or in a title fight, your other three coaches? Like, I don't know that that's going to show the true representation of a fight if you start doing things like that. So it's a difficult hand that they're dealt that they have to work with. But I think they're doing pretty good.
Well, I can think of when Alex Perez went out. Remember? Jeremy Lucow, his manager, went out with him. They were looking for a suit. Remember that on Embedded? Did you catch that before the last interview?
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering, should that happen?
Probably not, right? I mean,
he showed up to the fight, so he was good. They were wearing their masks, so they were good. But still, again, anytime you're – I mean, the mask isn't 100% foolproof, but imagine that risk in going out, which probably felt good, man. Fresh air, not being holed up in your room and take the pressure off. I get it. I'm not slamming that idea, you know, but imagine if he had contracted it then. If other fighters are and cornermen are contracting it at some point, imagine if he had done it before the biggest fight ever. You know, he wouldn't have had that opportunity versus Davison Figueiredo. Now, it didn't work out for him that night. I get it. He wouldn't have even had the chance to compete, you know, even that one round with Davison Figueiredo. So I don't know, but it's been happening a lot. Now, another thing we can all say is, hey, have you just looked at the numbers? In the United States, they're now averaging between 2,000 and 3,000 deaths per day, over 100,000 hospitalizations. You know, so those numbers are soaring. And could it be just the reaction to that? You know, if there's more infections, there's more of us, it's just being passed around more, then obviously that spills over to everything. The NFL, they've gotten slammed. They've been moving a lot of stuff around as well. Now, NBA had a really, really tight bubble. And the UFC's done well in Abu Dhabi with their bubble. But that's very, very expensive, and I don't think the UFC's doing that here or can do that here just because of the in-and-out type of traffic, you know, that they're having. So it could just be, man, it's a numbers game. And right now the whole United States is getting besieged.
Yeah, it's getting thumped right now. And I mean, I think if you look at the numbers game, it matches with what's going on. So like I said, I think they're doing a pretty good job. I think a lot of it has to do with just the increase of everything around us right now. It's really difficult to stay away. At first, I think in my personal life, it was kind of like the knuckleheads that I was hearing, you know, were getting it. They all had a good reason. Yeah, it's because I don't like the mask or because I went out and I did this. But now I'm starting to come across friends that are really safe and they really try their hardest. And even they're getting it. You know, it's getting difficult. It's difficult times for sure.
Yeah. All right. Look, let me just blast through some news here So I want to close some windows. Randy Gordon from the Nevada, former head of the Nevada, excuse me, New York State Athletic Commission, current host of At the Fights. He'll be joining us in about 15, 20 minutes. And let's see here. Bella Mir goes, 17-year-old Bella Mir, still in high school. She's got her second pro fight booked for December 11th at Icon down in Mexico. It's called Icon Fighting Federation. It's their fourth edition. She's 1-0, and so she's going to be headlining the next show. we may have mentioned this before. Maybe it was just you and I bullshitting, but good for her. All happening so quick, though.
Yeah. No, we mentioned it on our Triple G show with Richard Hunter. We were talking about it. And George did too. We both got to see her first fight on UFC Fight Pass. And you could just tell she's a young girl. You know, she's very, very young and she's learning the sport. She fought a girl that didn't back away. You know, she came forward the whole time and she bloodied Bella's nose up pretty good. So she had a little bit of adversity in that first fight, but I think she's still a ways away before we see her at a Bellator or a PFL or a Dana White's Contender Series, anything like that. I think she's got a lot of work to do, and it's not because she's not a good fighter. She has a lot of potential. She just needs that experience, and I think these are the type of fights where you do get that experience. You know, now she gets the headline too. That's a big deal. So little by little, I mean, come on. You got Frank Mir. He's managing your career along with the first-round management guys. You can't ask for a better recipe than that.
Right. All right, so the UFC basically is no longer in the business, in the Yoel Romero business. That happened a few days ago. It was a release. And when asked about it, Dana White said there's 60 more names coming. They just have to basically clean up the roster. There's too many people there. Coming off a long season of the Dana White Contender Series, you know, they signed a lot of bodies there. And then I think them having to sign a lot of last-minute replacements as well and not having access to the whole international roster because a lot of the international roster can't travel to the United States. They said they needed to clear the books, but the Romero one stung because he's awesome. You know what I mean? Look, he's 43 years old. He's fought for the title a couple times, and he hasn't won. Split decision was the closest he came. Former silver medalist in the Olympics, I believe. He was a world championships gold medalist. Physical specimen, man. Some great KOs. You know, I still remember the Luke Rockhold in 2018. And I don't know, man. I guess it just basically boiled down to he makes a lot of money and there's no vision for him to be at the top. You know, we mentioned Vettori, we mentioned Adesanya and Costa, and I guess you still have your other guys that are still a part of that. You know, Kelvin Gastelum, I'm sure, wants to try and make a move on that. Derek Brunson maybe wants to make a move on that. Darren Till maybe wants to make a move. Jacare, Kevin Holland, who knows? I still felt like there was room for Romero, but it could be – I don't know. I don't know if some of these guys want to negotiate per fight or what it is. I heard there was 3 fights left on his contract, but, you know, a lot of them do. And that management team is the same management team that oversees Jorge Masvidal. And you've seen Jorge Masvidal go from a fight, from a contract where he signed and there was 7 or 8 left, at least according to UFC President Dana White, and he wanted to get paid again because a lot of these fighters realize, hey, fight to fight, my worth, but my value changes, you know? So who knows? Now, also, a couple other names that we heard were Bavon Lewis, Justin Ledette, Cole Smith, and Colin Huckabee. But apparently there's 60 cuts overall that we'll be hearing about soon. What are your thoughts on the Romero cut, Goes?
You know, to me, the only thing that can make sense is money, really, because the dude performs. He's fun to watch. He's scary as hell, even at his age. I don't see why you wouldn't want a guy like that on your roster, but I don't think he's going to win a title. I think he's just a guy that's, I hate to say it, but like almost that gatekeeper role at this point. It's not to say that he couldn't. If you put him in that situation, of course, he's got devastating KOs under his belt. He's a great fighter. I just don't know that he can win enough fights to get himself in that position again. So now you're paying him a lot of money. I don't know. The first thing that comes to my mind is Dana White's Contender Series. And every week when we're saying, give that man a contract, give that lady a contract, man, we're real happy about that. But at some point, you got to remember those contracts that you're putting in are probably taking some out. And I think that's what we're seeing here with these 60 contracts that are going. It sucks. You know, you never want to see people lose their jobs. But the beef, I guess, that I have a little bit is, and it just seems like a terrible time to bring it up. You know, like bring it up, to do it, and then to kind of like, unless those 60 people already know, wouldn't that be a real shitty situation, if you're a UFC fighter and you know 60 guys are going to go right around Christmas time and you don't even know if you're one of them, that seems like a real shitty thing.
I was going to ask you, is it shitty because of the pandemic or is it shitty because of all the, you know, movies that we've seen throughout the years that boil down to a Christmas bonus or, you know, just someone losing their job around Christmas time? But I wasn't sure.
I mean, we got enough to worry about right now. Like, really, is that something that needs to be put out in that fashion? I don't know. It seemed kind of shitty when I heard it.
When would you do it?
After you know, January, first of the year, something like that, you know, like, I mean, and I definitely just wouldn't throw it out there like, hey, there's 60 of you. And, you know, I don't know. It's like, even if you do survive, it probably wasn't a good time sitting there thinking, am I one of them? Like, that's rough, dude.
Yeah. Well, Dana kind of sidestepped the question a little bit. And I mean, he didn't really dive into Romero too much, I guess. But you can tell, man, I think this year has really worn him down. He'll mid-sentence, he'll just say like, like he doesn't want to give you more. I think he knows sometimes he's his own worst enemy. He talks too much, or he may not have the info, or, you know, I'm not trying to make excuses for him. But I've noticed some of the press conferences, he'll get asked about a question. Like, I think John Morgan asked him about the bubble that we were talking about and the infections. And same thing, like, somehow he wound up talking about a phone call from a friend in Alaska or something like that. In regards to this, I guess no time is a good time, whether it's Christmas or not. Hearing that you might be one of them, I mean, I guess you carry that with you, especially if you're coming off a loss or consecutive losses. You may know that your number could be up, I guess. I don't know. I'll have to think about that. I'll have to think about and see how that could be handled best. I don't know, sure, if he was trying to take the pressure off answering the Romero question or diving more into the Romero question, because eventually what will come up goes, it'll go, was it a money thing? Was he looking for more money? He's devastating, you know what I mean? He's popular. He can headline. What's the deal here, you know? So sometimes he'll move that question or answer into another direction.
USA Today is huge. It's massive. They have a lot of employees. But if they told you 60 people are on the chopping block, even though you might feel – pretty decent. To me, that's enough for me to go, maybe I need to lower that Christmas list a little bit, you know, whittle it down to a couple people. It's going to have an impact for sure. It's going to create stress in my life. Until I know those 60 names are out, as big as USA Today is, and as good that you feel like you are at your job and the way you perform, I think there's just something that it was just unnecessary, dude, is really what it came down to.
All right. We're going to save a little bit of the boxing talk for when Randy Gordon comes on. He's the host of Anthem Fights on SiriusXM, Channel 156 on Fight Nation, former channel of and home of MMA Junkie Radio for 5 years. He was a colleague of ours, great guy. So I'm just going to blast through some other news real fast. Gabriel Benitez, I thought that was very touching for him to dedicate the win to his boxing coach who recently passed away. He held it together, goes, when he was getting interviewed, you could tell it was shaking him up a little bit, you know, but he held it together. So good for him. But God, didn't that hit home a little bit for you? Like how, I don't know. Maybe it's because we've been surrounded by these types of news lately. You know, our father lost a couple of his first cousins. We lost an uncle earlier in the year. Some of it COVID related, some of it not. I don't know too many of the details of Gabriel Benitez's boxing coach, but still, I thought it was so touching that he dedicated that win, and you could see how much it was affecting him, and you could see how much these athletes carry into the ring, into the cage when it's time to perform. Same thing for Marvin Vettori. Did you see all that emotion that was coming out of him, goes, when he was in the octagon? And some of it might have just stemmed from, remember, Italy was besieged with COVID in March. Northern Italy, where he's from. So, and then he had fights in and out. You know, I know it was a huge moment for him to beat Hermanson, but that looked like emotions that he held on for 9 months.
Yeah, in all of sports, you know, that coach-player relationship can be pretty strong. But in combat sports, I've never seen it stronger. I mean, like, to me, that's almost like father-son type relationship, a boxer and his trainer. So when he was through that, it was hurting. It was touching the heart.
Yeah. All right, just a couple more here because our good friend Randy Gordon is he's in the queue early. So if you don't know, UFC 256 is this weekend. Ghost and I will be posting a watch-along here on Sportscaster, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Watch the fights along with Ghost and I. We're going to order the pay-per-view. Whether you order it or not, just chill with us. We got a chat room. We'll be having some pizza, drinking some beer. It'll be like us watching the fights together. The headline bout is Davison Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno. Yes, the same Davison Figueiredo who defended against Alex Perez, who I mentioned earlier. 3 week turnaround. Davison Figueiredo is going to be back in that octagon. Angela Hill will not be fighting. Neither will Tisha Torres, but Angela Hill was infected with COVID-19. So she's out. So we already are down one fight. Why am I bringing that up? Only because it's kind of been a little bit of a theme in the last few weeks. We get through the weigh-ins, and then on Saturday we find out of more fights that just aren't happening. Now, on the one hand, hey, bravo, UFC. We're finding these infections. We're preventing more infections because once they enter that Apex Center, there's cameramen and production staff and UFC execs and other cornermen and who knows what. So I'm glad that they're catching it, but is there something that they could do to catch it sooner? You know, I don't know. I'm sure they're trying to figure it out. They don't want to go through this, that's for sure. You know, Demetrius Johnson was the latest bobblehead that was released, number 13, if I'm not mistaken, by MMA Bobblehead CNO, CEO, founder, and the creator of those models, Dave Manny. Great to see him get some love there on MMA Junkie's front page. I don't know if you guys saw that, but an article went up. So this one's in conjunction with ONE Championship, Demetrius Johnson. The bobblehead is out. Check out MMABobblehead.com, and you can get the Christmas ornament as well as the bobbleheads. So take a look there. It's MMABobblehead.com. Shout out to Dave Manley. All right, enough is enough. The man is a great friend of the show, Randy Gordon. They preceded us on Mondays and Fridays for many years. Their show's called At the Fights. Randy Gordon, along with Jerry Cooney, they bring you the best in boxing. I recommend you catch the show. And I'm telling you, they get all the big names in boxing. He's going to join us here in 10 seconds. Don't go anywhere, folks. Randy Gordon will join us. We'll talk some sweet science.
The Counter, an NFL podcast from USA Today Sports, featuring For the Win's Stephen Ruiz and Chris Corman.
I know people are like just assuming that this is an upgrade at the quarterback position, but I don't think we could say that for a fact. I'd say it's a downgrade.
He never really had game-to-game impact, just coming off the edge and destroying people that we thought when we saw his athleticism in college and at the combine.
The Counter, diving deeper into the NFL with advanced stats, film study, and expert guests. This is The Counter. Listen and subscribe to The Counter on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
And there he is. What's up, Kamish? How you doing?
How are you guys? How are you in this crazy, crazy year? I mean, when we were at this time last year getting ready for New Year's Eve and everything like that, did you ever in your wildest dreams picture a year like this?
No.
No way. I could not have pictured something that prevented me from having my Thanksgiving meal with my mom. You know, I've had 50 of these. Now, I remember five of them because obviously from the age of 5 before, you don't remember what the hell you're doing, other than probably antagonizing your parents. But I mean, yeah, it's really starting to hit home, Randy. It's been a long year. You know, we live in the capital of the world here, and it's not hard to get into some trouble. You know, there's great clubs, there's great shows, there's great restaurants, and then think of all the combat sports that's at our disposal, a last minute pair of tickets, or us covering the event, you know, or us just going as fans. Just that alone, you know, this new stadium that we have, the Raiders, goes as UNLV, Rebels, you know, that's a huge deal here in town. The hockey team, none of it has been there, you know, and then I don't know if you caught it, but, you know, along the way, we've lost some friends and family, man. It's been a terrible year.
I mean, what could you say? Everything about this year. I always try to put a positive spin on things. And, you know, here's a positive thing. I'm sitting here talking to you guys. I'm well. You're well. There's something positive, and people are listening to us, and hopefully they're safe. And I think people are now finally realizing that this is very real. This is very, very real. There is a pandemic out there. We do need our masks on. We do need to basically social distance. I have 12 grandkids. I haven't hugged any one of them since late February. I've seen them. We go over into their backyards. We sit there at the end of the table. My wife and I sit there. They sit there. And we kind of, you know, do this. But I haven't planted my lips. I haven't sucked off their faces since February. It's tough.
Yeah. And, you know, we were thinking of you and Jerry and Josh, Marissa. I was trying to send out a few messages because you guys were the epicenter back in March. You guys were definitely in our thoughts. And we talked to Ray Longo quite a lot. He's a Long Island guy like yourself, you know, and he was telling us how rough it was, because not only were we looking out for him and just telling him, hey, we're thinking of you, but we were asking you, hey, how come you're not at these fights? And he was like, hey, I'm in that higher risk category. I really got to protect myself. And yeah. It's been something else. So I know that Tri-State area got hammered too.
Yes, especially early on, we really got pounded. You know, it was shown that apparently, as a lot of the early flights were coming in from Europe, and basically, where do they land? They land on the West Coast. They land on the East Coast. They land at some of the big airports, and on the East Coast near me. And then a lot of the people brought it up, and it's just so contagious that upstate New York, even 5 hours from here where I am in the center of Long Island, it just started spreading and spreading until, look, there's going to be a lot of people in it, and I hate to get into politics here, and I think our governor did a great job. He said, here's what's happening. Look at this curve, and it was going up, 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 up like a rocket. He said, we got to flatten this thing out. And it took a while before it flattened out. Then it stayed there. And then it started to nosedive as things were shut down. We didn't want to be shut down. Friends of mine lost restaurants. They lost businesses. But you couldn't afford to open it up. And now look what's going on as the numbers are climbing once again. And we have to see what is going on. But I do think, having ridden out that first wave, I think we know that, listen, if we just stay locked away a little bit longer, and it's like putting out a forest fire. You don't just run into the fire and start spraying the water, because where you are, the winds are going to keep blowing it this way, this way, this way, and it just keeps going. You got to surround it, and you got to cut off its life. And that's exactly what you have to do. Where the hot spots are, those areas have to be shut down for about a week. Those people just can't get out and continue to run around. And once they stay in, and the forest fire goes out, boom, there goes another hot spot, and we're going to be back in business. I see a big year coming up for all of us in 2021.
Yes, the vaccines are right around the corner. Like you said, we just got to tighten up our defense here a few more months, and we'll all be all right. Randy, listen, you know, MMA, of course, came back rather quickly in the spring. Dana White, we got to tip our hat. You know, he didn't always listen to the experts, but, you know, he applied a lot of the science that was out there. He created bubbles or did what was necessary. And MMA got going pretty well.
you know, in the spring of 2020. And of course, we've kind of been having cards every week this year. But boxing is starting to come real strong here in the fall. A lot of big fights all at once. And every Monday and Thursday when we're Goz and I are doing our show, we're talking a lot of boxing. But we got to get the commission to talk about some of these big fights that have happened, some of these big stories that are there. So, again, welcome to Junkie Radio. It's been a couple of years since we've had you on, but this is great to have you on here. Let's start off with last week, if you don't mind. I don't think it gets old. Mike Tyson excuse me, I forgot his name.
Roy Jones Jr.
I was thinking James Toney there for a second. Roy Jones Jr., they had their exhibition fight, and our traffic was through the roof. Anything that had to do with Mike Tyson, MMA Junkie was blowing up. What did you think of that matchup? Were you in favor of it from the beginning? And if not, did you change your mind after you saw what happened?
I was not in favor of it from the moment I heard about it. Look, the former commissioner in me came out, and I know that boxing for older guys is just not the sport. You know, getting whacked upside the head at 54 years old and 51 years old. And I know certainly that Mike Tyson, if you watched all those videos he was putting out, did that show me he could go 8 rounds? No, but it showed me that he still has hand speed. He still has power. And Roy Jones, we have watched him over the years get KTFO'd. I mean, out cold. Could he take one of those Tyson bombs? No way. Now, when they said exhibition, and they said there was going to be 3 celebrity judges, I kind of saw where that was going. I said, okay. And I'm sure, see, this is a different Tyson now. This is a different Tyson. He admitted he was smoking weed in the basically before the fight. He is so passive. When did you ever see Tyson after a fight do a great interview with Jim Gray, wasn't yelling at him, wasn't yelling at Roy Jones, reached over, shook Roy Jones' hand, basically hugging him. It's a different Mike Tyson today, but yet he carries that aura about him, which so many of the younger fans are still, they know about it, and they say, wow, we want to see this guy that we've been hearing about for so many years.
You know, that was going to be my question, Randy, coming up was you had happened there with Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson. And then you got to add in your Jake Pauls of the world, right? This was definitely a different card. It was billed as an exhibition. Yeah. But those fans that did come in to watch that, are a lot of them the same fans that are going to be ordering the boxing pay-per-views like the one we had this weekend? Do you feel like they'll be crossover or is this kind of a separate group?
I think it's a separate group. Listen, when Floyd Mayweather took on Conor McGregor, there is your perfect example. You got a boxer against an MMA guy. And in the beginning, when the Mayweather fight was coming up against McGregor, I'm in the gym. I go to a few boxing gyms, and they also have MMA guys working out in there. Do you know that every MMA guy, they were teasing me and saying, you know, your boxing guy is going to get crushed. And I was like, would you stop it? I mean, come on. If it was MMA, you're absolutely right. It's not. It's boxing. And there's no way. I've watched Conor McGregor box. I'm not sure Conor McGregor could beat me in the ring. I am just, I've never been impressed with him. I was watching him on the heavy bag. I said, oh my God, is he going to get taken apart? Yet the MMA people didn't want to hear it. So when it took place, got to remember, Floyd Mayweather is kind of like that Tyson. He says he's going to be fighting, and again, he's going to be doing it one more time. The curious are out there. They're going to buy it, whether you put a $50 price tag or a $100 price tag. So the boxing people bought it, and then the MMA fans just came out of the woodwork, and it was something like 4 million buys. Go look up the numbers. Floyd Mayweather made a few hundred million and Conor McGregor maybe cut that in half. So he made only maybe about 100 million. That's what the fans wanted to see, but they are two different audiences.
I am so glad you said that line that you could beat him because I was telling people Floyd Sr. could beat Conor. This was 3 years ago, you know, I still see Floyd sling him from time to time in the gym. You know, but people are like, nah, the youth and this and that. And I'm like, no, the sweet science. There's just
there's something to be said for the footwork, the traps, the angles, the years of that muscle reaction, you know, head movement. You can't just learn that in a camp. You can't just learn it because you take some boxing to accompany the MMA. And again, Floyd would look like a fool in the MMA cage. So we're not in any way picking at the guy, you know, but I couldn't even believe it was a professional fight and they made him go 50-0. But look, maybe I'm just a hater. The guy took home $300 million for one of the easiest nights of work ever. And I refused to pay for it that night. I didn't. I only watched it because we were paid to cover it. But let's move into the next topic here. Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul, the older brother of Jake Paul, who just fought an exhibition on February 20th. Are you warming up to that because it's an exhibition and now you know how Floyd can play with his food a little bit before he eats it? How do you see this thing going on?
See, to me, this is a little bit better. I mean, it's still Floyd Mayweather, and I don't care how old he is. He has never been out of the gym. He is in fighting shape. He knows how to fight. He knows how to defend himself. And Logan Paul, to me, is a better boxer than Conor McGregor. And I say that not with any dislike of Conor McGregor, but, you know, in MMA, as we know, there's a whole array of combat talents that go in there, the kicking, the Brazilian jiu-jitsu, the throws, the holds, the chokes, and everything else. I have trained in some of that. And I know that there's just a total difference in boxing, which is the upper body movement, which is the leg movement, the in and out. Basically, as you said, the timing, the skill, there's no elbows, there's no throwing, there's no kicking. I don't have to worry about getting kicked in the shin. And it's funny because many of the fighters I've spoken to, and for us who have done kickboxing in the past, man, anytime I got kicked in the shin, if I'm sitting here with you guys talking to you and I turn at my desk and I bang my shin, it's like, oh, my God. It's like, don't kick me there. So I don't want to do it. I'd rather get punched in the face than kicked in the shin. So would Floyd Mayweather. But I think against Logan Paul, Logan is a younger guy. And he's got some boxing talent. Does that mean he's going to beat Floyd? No, but the curious are absolutely going to be there. They're going to come out for this fight, and it's all about making some more money. And Floyd has admitted, he said, why can't I do an exhibition? Why can't I do a side job and pick up a few million? What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that.
But what about his legacy? Do these type of fights, because if we look at now what will be his last three fights, you're going to have Logan Paul. He had the fight in Japan. Remember Conor? It's been a while since we saw him in the ring with a great boxer. Do these little sideshow fights, does that damage his legacy at all when we look back at him? If he has too many of these, are people going to remember him for these type of antics rather than the accomplishments that he had in the ring?
No, I don't think so. I mean, look, if he goes on too long, which just about every fighter does, and I really think that Floyd Mayweather knows what he's got inside of him. When he went overseas and he took on that, and I forgot what the guy's name was, who was such, this was in Japan, right?
Uh-huh.
Right. And the guy was like this national hero. But when they got into the ring together to face each other, I turned to Cooney. I was watching it with Cooney. I said, Jerry, the guy is smaller than I am. The guy is going to get hammered. And of course he was. Floyd knows what he's doing. And I don't think it's going to touch his legacy, not touch his legacy at all. Look what he is doing. His legacy is about just making money and living up to that nickname, Money Mayweather. And I call it the Pet Rock. He keeps selling us this useless, just continuation of his career. I'm going to fight this one. I'm going to fight this one. And it's $100. It's $75, whatever it might be. A million people and more plunk their money down. And if you go doing the math, you see what both of the guys are making. Geez, I want to fight Mayweather for that kind of money.
You know, it wasn't that long ago, but just here in the interview, we were talking about, well, we all know if Mayweather came to MMA, he would have a rough night. Clarissa Shields just announced that she's signing with the PFL, and this is something that she's been kind of talking about doing for a while now, and she's finally coming over to mixed martial arts. My question to you, Randy, is if you were in her corner, how would you manage the situation? Over there at PFL, they have Kayla Harrison, very decorated, but she's still roughly young in her career as well. How many fights do you think a Clarissa Shields would need before she could get in there with Kayla Harrison?
You know, it's funny. One day she was up in studio at Sirius XM with Jerry and I, and this was sometime about a year ago. Remember, we haven't been in studio since late February, and it was sometime around October, November of last year. Clarissa was in studio with us, and she was mentioning that she's considering going into MMA. And Jerry said, "What do you know about kicking?" And she said, "When we get off, I'm going to show you something." And we were out in the hall, and she said, "Jerry, hold up your hand." And she reached up and, I mean, kicked up there. She knows what she's doing. I don't know how, but apparently, you know, she is one hell of an athlete. Whether she can do it all, put it all together, you know, obviously from the outside, she's going to be punching. But what happens when she gets taken down? I just know she's a very physically strong young lady. And we'll just have to see. And if she can't do it, she feels she can. And, you know, God bless her for making the move, because she just can't seem to get the fights that she wants to get in boxing. So she said, "I'm a combat artist. I'm going to do what I can. So I'm going to move into MMA." I applaud her for doing this.
Randy, I wanted to ask you about Dana White. He had some comments. And I think that it's still him, you know, teeing off on Oscar and Bob Arum. There's a few guys in boxing that he doesn't like, but I know he loves boxing. But he was asked on another podcast, "Hey, what's the state of boxing?" And, you know, basically he said, look, this was his quote: "When people ask what's the state of boxing now, that's where it's at. Didn't that kid get beat up by the fucking video game kid in England? And now he's going to fight Floyd Mayweather." He's talking about Logan Paul.
Right.
But I feel like it's an unfair assessment of boxing, because we got Anthony Joshua coming up, Canelo coming up. We just had Errol Spence and Danny Garcia, Bud Crawford the weekend before. Like I say, boxing is now really picking up in the latter part of 2020, and I imagine 2021 is going to have some mouthwatering matchups, maybe even Crawford and Spence, which I'd love for you to chime in on if you think that's going to be happening. But what do you think is the state of boxing at this moment?
I think the state of boxing, it's good. I applaud Bob Arum, who's going to be my guest tonight on Sirius XM. He's joining Jerry and myself later, and we're going to ask him exactly about these pay-per-views. Look, some of these pay-per-views, and Arum has said it over and over again, pay-per-view, in fact, to quote him, he said, has gone the way of the Edsel. I don't agree with that, because of course, there's the streaming services. I think DAZN, D-A-Z-N, is doing a phenomenal job. I think ESPN Plus is doing a phenomenal job. And for $4.99 or for about 10 bucks a month, you can get DAZN. $4.99, you get ESPN Plus. They are not asking you for a Ben Franklin for every freaking fight. And in fact, Arum gave boxing fans the biggest gift that I think we've gotten in years back on October 17th on ESPN. All you had to do is just get ESPN, and he gave us Teofimo Lopez against Vasily Lomachenko, one of the year's biggest fights.
Yeah.
Can he continue to do that? No, that was more or less a gift. But the fact is, he's going to be putting a lot of fights on the streaming service on ESPN Plus, and you're going to see a lot more. The Anthony Joshua fight is going to be on DAZN. It's just like these pay-per-view events. How long are fans going to continue to buy the pay-per-view? And as a matter of fact, Mayweather came up with something kind of creative. Mayweather Promotions, of course, for his fight against Logan Paul, if you buy it before the end of the year, I think it's like $38.99. If you buy it after that, between another date in January, it becomes like $50. And I think if then you buy it after another date, it becomes a little bit more. So it's kind of enticing to buy it now. But that's pay-per-view. And the fans who want to see it, they want to see Mayweather. They want to see Tyson. And let me tell you something. You didn't see Tyson in one fight. When he could make $10 million, you think he's going to stop there? No way. Evander Holyfield is waiting in line, and many other big heavyweights. It's driving me crazy thinking that they're all coming back again.
You think Tyson Holyfield does go down?
How could it not? How could it not? I think Tyson is a little bit concerned. He got beaten up twice by Evander Holyfield. He really did. Evander, back in their two fights, and the second fight, of course, with the ears getting munched, Tyson was very frustrated. Why? Because in the first fight, he was a dirty fighter. He fought my guy, Bone Crusher Smith. I managed him. And in their fight, back in the late 80s, from the very first round, Tyson came out and threw the elbows and put the shoulder into Bone Crusher's face and headbutted him. That's the kind of fighter. Tyson was a rough and tumble fighter. But when Evander gave it back to him, you know what happens when you fight the bully, when you stand up to the bully, they say the bully will back down, and that's exactly what happened. So after he lost to Evander in the first fight, he came out in just a rage. And when Evander started doing it again to him, giving him back what he always gave to everybody else, he was frustrated, took a munch out of one ear. They let it go on. He took a munch out of the other ear. But Tyson, again, was Mike Tyson. And he was just a raging lunatic in that ring. Tyson is just a different guy today. And I think he's a little bit concerned that Evander is going to come into the ring and not go through the exhibition. You know, he's going to do more than move around. So I think they have to sit down and talk about that.
Hey, two more quick ones. Crawford and Spence. Is that one going to happen? I know people make it sound like, why can't it? But they're rivaling promotions, and it's sometimes it can get a little complicated when it involves rivaling promotions and television as well.
I think it has to happen. And you're right. Terrence Crawford is with Bob Arum. And Errol Spence is with the PBC. Are they going to work with each other? Or is Bob Arum going to say, no, I want to promote this fight? Or is Al Haymon with the PBC saying, no, I want to promote this fight? It's a shame if they can't work with each other, because this is a fight that has to happen. In 2021, of all the fights out there, heavyweight division and elsewhere, this is the one that I want to see more than any other fight. We all do. Spence against Crawford. Right now, I don't even know who to pick.
Nice. Okay. And then the last one is Pacquiao. Where does he stand in all this? He's an aging fighter as well, but he still goes out there. He's not in any talks about exhibitions or anything like that. Who do you think he'll fight next? Could Floyd be convinced to fight him, or is Floyd just too removed from his better days to fight Pacquiao, who still shows us a glimpse or two?
I think that has come and gone, and they're not going to do the millions of pay-per-view buys. I do see, as a matter of fact, we're going to ask Arum in the interview with him later. We're going to ask him, if it's not Crawford against Spence, what about Crawford against Manny Pacquiao? I'm going to say, Bob, I've heard you say the fight could be made. Crawford said he wants it. I've heard Pacquiao say he wants it. Can it be made? Will it be made in early 2021?
There you go. All right. So we got At the Fights, and that's Mondays and Fridays, along with Jerry Cooney. Same time as before, right? 3 Pacific, which is 6 Eastern, for a couple hours there. 6 Eastern, Mondays and Fridays. And then Randy's Ringside, I've been watching a lot of you on Facebook. Has that become daily?
Yes, Monday through Friday. As a matter of fact, I'm doing it today at 4 p.m. Eastern time. I do it on Monday and Friday at 4 p.m. I'll go for about a half hour today, just me rambling into the screen. And then on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern time on Facebook Live, Randy's Ringside. And then, as you said, Sirius XM at the Fights, Monday and Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern time, channel 156.
That's right. All right. Well, tell everybody, Goes and George said hello. Thank you for the time here, as always. We'd love to do it again with you because, again, there's just been so much boxing as of late, and we're big fans of the Sweet Science just as much as we are of MMA.
And likewise, I'm same thing the other way. I still watch all my MMA. You guys do a tremendous job. Thank you so much for having me. If we don't speak before the end of the year, and I'm sure we will, but happy, happy holidays, and may 2021 be the best one you've ever known.
Same. Thank you. All right. Take care, Randy. We'll see you. All right, folks. There he is, Randy Gordon, the host of Apple Fights with Jerry Cooney. Yeah, I miss him too. A lot of times when our show would start, Josh would turn on their mics as they had already finished their show, and then we would kind of have a little bit of a crossover. You mentioned Cuomo's name, and I'm a fan of Chris Cuomo, who does the same with Don Lemon. Basically, when one show's ending, the other one comes in, and they'll just kind of have a quick overlap, and then boom, they go and do their things. But yeah, I miss that, Goes. I miss that interaction. Because another thing was, we got to put the headphones on early and catch the show. You know, as we were finishing our last-minute prep, we could hear all the last-minute stuff with all the huge guests that they have. They have on, like, tonight, Bob Arum. Lots to clear up there with Bob Arum.
Mm-hmm. I used to love it because, to me, it, you know, you see a fighter getting ready to go into the ring, and they put the Vaseline and all that. That was my moment with them, as I would put my headphones on about 30 minutes before and I would hear them talk. And they both have this kind of like soothing presence that would just kind of calm you down. And so by the time they signed off and we would come on, you just were relaxed. I don't know. It was very cool, but it's a great show. And anybody
early too, because there was a lot to talk about. And I mean, you know, I regret not asking about Deontay Wilder. Randy's really close with Deontay Wilder. And I want to see Deontay back in the, in the mix. You know, I know we're going to have, you know, Fury, Joshua, you know what I mean? But I'd love to see Deontay still back in the mix, gold medalist and just such a polarizing figure. You know what I mean? Like, he can just give you like the most menacing, intense type of interview, but at the same time, he can kick it and just chat as well. So we'll just have to pull him in on another show next time.
I'm going to add to my bucket list. The next time he comes out to Vegas, I want to pull him and Ratner aside and have lunch. I think that would be so much fun. The knowledge, that I would even say a word. I think people would walk in and go, is that guy a mime or what? Because I would just be tuned in to everything Randy and Mark would say. It would be so much fun.
Two former heads of the most influential boxing commissions, you know, New York Boxing Commission, what was Randy's years ago, and then Mark Ratner, Nevada, and now they both have the different gigs going on. But yeah, check out on Facebook. He talks boxing daily, and I catch it from time to time, and I enjoy it. Like I say, there's just, even if it's just hearing him sharing his thoughts from the past weekend, you don't have to, these guys, Jerry and Randy, you don't have to have a subject for them to interview. I mean, I love it when they do, but if they're just recapping and sharing their thoughts, that's awesome. All right, folks, listen, we'll be back on Thursday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific with another edition of Junkie Rio. Big thanks to Randy Gordon for joining us here on the show. And congrats to Marvin Vettori. Huge, huge, big win for him over Jack the Joker Hermanson. And don't forget, on Saturday, Goes and I are hosting a UFC 256 watch-along here on Sportscaster, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. That's the official start time of the pay-per-view. We're going to probably dip in early, just like we have in the past few cards. In fact, the last one, I think we caught 9 fights overall. So count on us probably at least an hour early, just because we didn't do the last one. So we're really, really jonesing to do this one. Anyway, folks, that's about it. Stay safe. Keep it locked on MMA Junkie throughout the week. Check out our video franchises, the Spinning Backlick and the Rankings Report. We're going to be actually working on that today. And on Instagram and Twitter, Goes is at the Goes. I'm at MMA Junkie George. And we are out of here. Go out there and be a champion.